Blog Talk Radio.
Mojuba Asheda, Mojuba Aluwa Mi, Apolabi Pega, Mojuba Araba Mi, Adesanya Awuyade, Mojuba Ogute Compound Ode Remo, Mojuba Baba, Mojuba Yeye, Mojuba Egun, to all the God children, Mojuba Egun, to all the Babalawos, the Ears, Mojuba Egungun, to all the chiefs, Mojuba Egungun, to all the Awos, Mojuba Egungun, to all those that are listening, who are tuned in. We give praise and thanks to the Most High. We say Ashe, 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 Ashe-o.
Ashe-o. Welcome to Sign of the Times, everyone. This is Queen Tahira. Sign of the Times is brought to you by the UAC, the United African Coalition for Justice and Human Rights, and New Power Radio Network. We began the UAC after the unjust Zimmerman verdict of July 2013. Our sponsors, Race and Culture, headed up by my co-host of Wednesday nights, Dr. James Jones. You can find him as James Jones on Facebook as well as on the World Wide Web at manhoodraceculture.com. Also, please support Unity Design, headed up by Arlie Gordon. You can find Ali on Facebook and on the World Wide Web at unitydesign.com. And Unity is spelled U-N-I-T-E-E. And, of course, never want to forget our love brothers and sisters who are behind enemy lines and the family and loved ones and friends that they represent. So please hit up Unheard Voices, the Free Alabama Movement, and the Free Ohio Movement, respectively, on Facebook as well as on the World Wide Web at freealabamamovement.com and freeohiomovement.org. So for those who may be new to Sign of the Times, and we are initiated for a conference call. They happen at 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. So if you'd like more information, call me up on Facebook, Queen Tahira. You can inbox us at tahira@gmail.com. And Tahira is spelled T-A-H-I-Y-R-A-H @gmail.com. And, of course, New Power Radio Network. We have on the conference call information to you. We are planning some events here in the state of Ohio, October the 20th to the 22nd. We will hit Youngstown, Columbus, and Cincinnati on those that three-day weekend. Also, we have for the next day here in Cincinnati, as well as on the World Wide Web. So we need your help, support, and love, and dedication, and commitment to helping us pull all of this off. So please reach out to me. My phone number, 513-913-2691, 513-913-2691. So tonight we have Jay Lewis joining us from Black Minds Matter. So I'm going to go ahead and open up his mic and welcome him to the broadcast. Greetings. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you. Glad it's Friday.
Yes, thank you for having me on the show. Truly appreciate the opportunity to come and talk about the work that we are doing here.
Now, for the listeners who may not have had a chance to go to your website, please tell us about yourself and what exactly is Black Minds Matter?
Absolutely. So my name is Luke Wood, and I am a professor of education at San Diego State University. I teach in our College of Education. My research focuses on Black boys and men in education. Largely, I focus on the community college context, but I look broadly at their experiences. And this semester, I am teaching a public course titled Black Minds Matter, a focus on Black boys and men. And what we are doing in this course is we are training educators to prepare and mobilize.
I'm sorry, Brother Wood. I got disconnected from Black Talk. I apologize for the silence on the
air. No problem at all. No problem at all.
Okay, so now you're teaching this course online and in person. How is that working? How does that work, and how do people register if they'd like to take the course?
So the course is called Black Minds Matter, a focus on Black boys and men in education. And what we're doing is we're preparing educators to engage their classrooms in very different ways and to embrace really a paradigm shift in how they view their role in education to better serve our Black boys and men. So it's in class. I'm teaching it at San Diego State in our doctoral program in education. And so I'll have students who are in the classroom face-to-face who will be participating. But when we started to teachers who would come and also share their knowledge in the class, we thought that it might be nice to open the course to the public, which we have. And so the first hour and a half of every course section is going to be a live broadcast nationally. And today was a very great day for us. We are happy to report that we reached 100 locations that will be streaming the course in either real time or doing replays with groups of people. So between that and the individual registrations, we have approximately 10,000 people so far who will be participating in the course.
Wow, I mean, let alone an educational course that specifically deals with Black boys. Now, what made you decide to go on?
I'm sorry?
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you now.
Okay.
It's going in and out some.
And how does it compare to the Black Lives Matter aspect?
Well, the course is based on the guiding principles of the Black Lives Matter movement. So we're using those principles to inform the strategies and practices they're recommending to educators. So we're focusing on loving engagement, restorative justice, and collective value as principles for how educators should teach and engage our Black boys and men.
And how is that going to differentiate from what we see currently in the school system?
Well, it's a totally different reconceptualization of what an educator's role is. So what we are doing in this class is really redefining what an educator should do. And we believe that civil resistance is important. So when there is a police brutality or the slaying of a Black male, oftentimes we will go to the streets and engage in civil resistance by engaging in sit-ins, demonstrations, protests, and other forms of nonviolent action. And what we want educators to do is to perceive their classrooms as sites for civil resistance, and that resistance can primarily occur through the ways that they teach our children, rather than approaching the and using a Eurocentric model of education, which does violence and damage to our students, embracing a totally different conceptualization of what it means to teach a child. And what that involves is really engaging and empowering children and empowering their communities to be able to gain justice for themselves in a society that's very unjust.
So your experience in Black Lives Matter movement has been totally different than I hear from a lot of other cities as far as their involvement with the Black Lives Matter movement. And so did you decide to model after the Black Lives Matter movement? Is it in our city, the Black Lives Matter movement is very Eurocentrically designed. And as a matter of fact, the majority of the people who facilitate the entire process, not only in my city, but I've seen in other cities in my state, are mostly Eurocentric. Considering you're saying that the Black Lives Matter movement, there where you are, is Afrocentric.
Well, I know this. It's very clear that one of the core guiding principles of the Black Lives Matter movement is being unapologetically Black. And to engage Blackness and a Black identity is to be Afrocentric. And there's different ways in our communities in which we approach that. But I think that that demonstrates the beauty of diversity within our community.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've received a lot of opposition for this course. I don't know if you've seen some of the articles that ran this week in the New York Times, the Los Angeles Times, and a number of other news outlets, where there have been alt-right or should I say at least conservative organizations who have asked that the course be shut down.
The thing that you anticipate will become, a regular part of some curriculums, or will this be offered, as an alternative class, if you will?
Well, we are offering this as a service to the public and as a service to our students. I teach in my classroom these same practices and methodologies, and this is an opportunity for us to share it more explicitly with the community. Our program that we have here, our doctoral program, has a very clear focus on social justice and multiculturalism, which sets us apart from many other programs in the country in that we embrace liberatory, emancipatory, critical pedagogies, while other programs may not see those as being viable. So for us in the work that we do in the program that I oversee, this is Monday.
Okay, so can you tell me if someone does take the course, give us an idea of some of the things that they'll talk about and will learn, as well as who are some of the speakers that are going to be participating?
Well, we're going to be really focusing on two primary areas. The first is going to be addressing the fact that in wider society, we know that Black males are oftentimes portrayed as being criminalized and that they are undervalued. And we see that in terms of how they are treated by law enforcement, how they are treated in all areas of society. And we're making a translation between that and then what occurs with those same patterns in education, where our Black boys and men are undervalued by educators who work with them and criminalized in the classroom, which oftentimes results in their overplacement in special education and overexposure to exclusionary disciplines such as suspensions and expulsions. And so what we will be doing is very clearly addressing those topics first to really lay a foundation for why there is a need for revised or enhanced teaching practices that can support this population. And then from there, we're going to transition into what are some strategies and practices that actually, and examples of those will include collaborative learning, validating students, rooting what is being taught in students' culture, so teaching from an Afrocentric perspective. So we'll be talking about what that looks like. And in order to be able to do that, we've been able to secure many great speakers who are going to help us really and help those who are participating better understand what that looks like. So some of our interviewees and speakers include Jawanza Kunjufu, James Moore, Ivory Tolson, Pedro Nogueira. We have people who such as Sean Harper. And so these are and Frank Harris III, these are incredible scholars who do great work that is focused on looking at what it takes for Black boys and men to be successful, not from a perspective that blames the students, blames their families, or blames their communities, but one that flips that on its head and looks at what is the role of educators, what is the role of institutions. We also have, in addition to that, some other speakers who will be joining us who are educational advocates and activists in wider society. One of those speakers will include Patrice Kohlers, who's the co-founder of Black Lives Matter. We have Ilyasa Shabazz, who is an educational advocate and daughter of Malcolm X. We have Esley Merritt, who was the attorney for the family of Jordan Edwards. And one of the reasons that we wanted to bring him on is that was one of the very few cases where our community won, where our community was able to receive justice for what occurred when a young man, Jordan Edwards, was shot in the, you know, as he was leaving a scene that was created natively by the police in Flint. So we thought it was important to also have a guest who could talk about what it takes to be successful in this line of work.
One of the things that we've looked at with the National Freedom Movement is the school to prison pipeline and the types of policies. For instance, the zero tolerance policy, which a lot of schools have adopted, as well as the presence of police officer use of force, including handcuffs on children. What's the matter as far as that's concerned?
Well, we will certainly be looking at the school-to-prison pipeline. We can't have a course that looks at criminalization of Black boys and men and tries to address that and not be attentive to what that looks like. And we know that these patterns of criminalization begin very early on, really as early as preschool, where you may have two boys who are playing on the playground, and let's just say that one is Black and one is white, and they're engaged in some form of aggressive play. Maybe they're throwing a ball with one another, or roughhousing somewhat, and you will oftentimes see is that the response by an educator to those actions looks very different. For one child, they may be lauded for their behavior, told, you know, you're doing a good job because of their masculine performance, while the other child will be reprimanded and written up and told that they're being bad. And oftentimes the only difference between those children is the color of their skin. So we will certainly be talking about that, because it's important for us to keep that in mind, because those patterns only continue and basically serve to, you know, lead students into the prison pipeline. I think the other thing that is also connected to that we have to be attentive to is the fact that many of our boys are placed into special education. Special education is an important resource for students, but it is often misused when it comes to our community, where our children are put into special education as a dumping ground. And we know that there's a high correlation between involvement in special education and transitioning into the criminal justice system.
Yeah, we found that out too. But the learning styles are different as well. Are you discussing that?
Absolutely. We'll definitely be discussing learning styles. So, for example, we know that when we have a young boy, you have a young boy who is born, like, you know, you just had a child, it is pretty common for us to then get that child certain types of toys, right? Toys that we commonly associate with boys. So we might get them some blocks. We might get them some footballs, some basketballs. We might get them little cars, wherever it might be. But these are objects that require them to engage in physical movement. And so from a very, very early age, you know, you have a six-month child, eight-month child, they're engaged in movement in the types of toys that they are given, and they are constantly requiring movement in order to be able for them to be able to play. And so they begin to train their brains to then process and take in information that requires that same type of movement. We then get that child and we get them into elementary school, and they are a child who then processes information and learns information through movement. And the first thing we do is we tell them, we'll sit down and stay still. And that sitting down, that's what we call a sedentary learning style, does not work well for boys in general, but particularly for our Black boys and men. So we believe in learning and teaching to a learning style which requires what we call kinesthetic capabilities, which is really getting at this notion of learning through movement. We believe in learning styles that also leverage the oral intelligence that many of our Black boys bring into the classroom with them. So in our community, it is common for us to have oral storytelling, to engage in call and response, and to have other communication styles that are oftentimes not appreciated or even leveraged in the classroom. And so an Afrocentric pedagogy or Black Minds pedagogy embraces that as part of recognizing that that is an asset that is can be brought to the classroom and leveraged by educators who are working with students.
Sounds good. Sounds real good. And so with the types of learning programs and things like that, it seems like every child succeeds to what we're seeing. Like every few years, there's this new type of learning style that's been introduced to the public school system. And if the children don't, I guess, learn it right away or comprehend the technique, a lot more children fail than they get to what they call a
Well, I mean, I think it's safe to say that our educational system is certainly not set up to support the learning of our Black children. And there's a lot of data that supports that. So, for example, let's just look at proficiency in reading. Reading is one of the most important things that any child can have, because if you can't read, you can't perform well in essentially any other area, because in mathematics, you have word problems. In science, you have to be able to read. In social studies, you have to read. And so reading becomes foundational learning area that is probably the most important of the learning areas when we're talking about base level understanding, because it because all understanding in other areas requires you to be able to read. But we know that in fourth grade, only about 14% of Black boys read at proficient, are proficient in reading. And so that is a stark number, which really is, serves as an indictment to our educational system. So when you say that, hey, you know, we have these different things that, that show that, you know, that they're not doing well, and these different styles and approaches that, that aren't really reaching them, you know, my response to that is, you're right. They're not, it's not working, which requires us to then think to ourselves, you know, if we're continuing to do the same thing and we know it's not working, is that purposeful? Is it negligence? And what, you know, what is it? And from my perspective, likely it's that we simply don't care enough to do something different. And so what we're trying to do in this class is to first push for this notion that we value Black minds, because we can't teach someone who we don't value. And so that's why the class is called Black Minds Matter, because it's an affirmative statement that they actually do matter. And if they do matter, right, and what we're doing is not working, then that necessitates us to really do some deep work and consider, why is it that I know I'm not being effective, yet I don't do anything different?
Mm-hmm. Well, there's a couple of reasons why things are done differently. I mean, and it pretty much comes down to power and control and money. A lot of these programs are already financed. You know, It is purposeful and neglectful, in my opinion, as a parent who has had children who come through the public school system, and I've seen our issues across the board, across the U.S., where discipline is a problem, where the enhancement and teaching of critical are not taught, but yet the standardized testing aligns itself with that type of ability to critically think and reason through, and your child is, you know, having struggle reading quite naturally when it gets to the point where they're going to have to turn those words into a process to be able to reason. Our schools and our children, especially our boys, are failing, but yet, you know, it seems as though more and more money continues to be invested into these types of. What's your opinion on that?
I agree. There's no disagreement here.
And so as we look at pushing this forward past the 8 weeks, will there continue to be, I guess, an opportunity for those who do take the course, whether they're students or a part of the public, to continue to be involved?
Yes. So we view this course as a starting point, not an ending point. So we are partnering with other organizations that will be able to continue to advance conversations that are specific to certain communities, so specific to researchers, to parents, parent advocates, to educators. So we're going to be having continued discussion groups that are going to go on beyond the course. But beyond that, we're also going to start what we will call the Black Minds Project, which will be a ongoing, essentially, resource where we will be providing a weekly or either every other week lectures that basically talk about different topics to help continue to provide this information to the public.
So grandparents, radio hosts, and the like all can be a part of the public course. The other part of the course is reserved for students and educators.
Yes, that is true. We have made, however, the first hour and a half of each of the course sessions open to the public and available for them free of charge. And they can log on and view the stream as individuals, or they can attend one of the sites that we have. I just posted today the list of the 100 sites that we have, and we're still having sites that are signing up for this to serve as live broadcast or replay broadcast sites for the course. And so that's a resource that hopefully people will log on to and find one in their local area to participate.
Great. Now, is that on your personal page or is it on the Black Male Teachers page or where?
It's both on my personal page through our Facebook, which is made public, and then it's also on the Black Minds Matter website page for the course. And so you can go to register for the course at jlukewood.com. That's jlukewood.com/BMM for Black Minds Matter. Or you can simply go to my website, jlukewood, and then you can go from there and click on the menu to get to a link to the Black Minds Matter course page where you'll see all the information that we have made available thus far, which includes some of the information on our guest speakers, a map of locations, and other resources.
Great, great. And we'll share that on our Sign of the Times page and page on my page of Queen Tahira as well. So people can get involved. Well, thank you so much for offering this public portion because it is important for parents and grandparents and the like to be involved as community members in the educational system. It's right now in my state in a shambles. It's not financed correctly. We've got a lot of students that are failing to graduate, and it seems to drop off at that pinnacle stage. Third and fourth grade, where we see a really large decline in the progress of our Black children, but especially our Black boys. So hopefully we'll get you back on the air after the 8-week course, and I'd love to have you meet Dr. James Jones. He's a professor at Prairie View University in Texas, and he's my co-host with me on Wednesday nights. I think he'd be interested to hear the results of the class and to meet you in that way. So we wish you well in the course, and I definitely, as I said, will be sharing the course information on our pages and hopefully get a few people to take it and see what happens.
Absolutely. Well, thank you for the opportunity to be able to talk about this resource and for spreading the word. And thank you for all the good work you're doing with this your show.
All right. I'm Brother Luke, and if we can be of any service before the class happens, help you promote. As a matter of fact, if you can make a 30 to 60 second promo, I can, you know, play it during our break period here on Sign of the Times up until the time of registration or until the class gets closed or whatever. But, you know, I'll just make that offer to you free of charge and, you know, just to support, you know, the education of our boys is just pinnacle right now. It really is. So yeah, any help I can be, I'm here.
Absolutely. Thank you. I will definitely do that and send it your way.
All right. Well, have a good weekend, Luke, and we'll talk soon.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Hey, everybody. We're going to go ahead and broadcast. I'm going to go ahead and take me some personal time and enjoy my weekend a little early. Got a few more phone calls to still make before I retire for the evening. But as always, you know, we appreciate you. We appreciate the time you take to be a part of our listening audience. If you would like to become a sponsor of Sign of the Times, you can do that via our PayPal account and email address, signothetimes19@gmail.com. signothetimes19@gmail.com. You also can use the U.S. Postal Service to send us a donation if you'd like. Our mailing address is 1623 Dalton Street, D-A-L-T-O-N, number 14939, Cincinnati 5250. Again, our mailing address is 1623 Dalton, D-A-L-T-O-N Street, number 14939, Cincinnati, Ohio. Go ahead and close out for the evening. We'll see you all on Tuesday night, live and in living color here on Sign of the Times, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard. Have a good weekend, everybody. If you need me, give me a call. Area code 513-913-2691.
Baby, let me explain to you what I'm saying.
What you saying?
It's not even like that.
It wasn't like that, but I saw you.
Baby, I don't love her.
You don't love me? You know what? I don't even want to talk to you.
She don't mean nothing to me.
I don't want
to
see your face.
She was just telling me.
I don't want to see you walking through that
baby,
door. There ain't nothing else to
why
say.
Why we got to do it like this? Baby. Damn.
Come home late. It seems you barely beat the sun. Tapping my shoulder. Thinking you gon' get you some. Smelling like some fragrance that I don't even wear. So if you want some loving, I suggest you go back there where you came from. Day to day with you is always something else. Working my nerve, God knows that I don't deserve what you put me through. Cause I've been so true to you, for you to come at me with another lame excuse. See, I cut it off before all of your lies. All of your sweet talk, baby this, baby that. But your lies ain't working now. Now look who's hurting now.
Look who's hurting
I
now.
Have to shut you down.
Yeah.